This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to You Haven't Heard This Music Podcast, a podcast about lesser-known music by lesser-known artists that we believe are as good, if not better than that, in the mainstream. We are an entertaining podcast where we take a listen to different music that has been sent to us throughout the week through the emails. We also have a guest on the show sometimes. Today we do have a guest. We have special guest Ray Kelly from Ireland, a previous artist of the week. Also joining me, I have Wayne. It's nice to have Wayne back with me. I have missed Wayne, so it's good to have him back on the show. Hopefully, soon we'll be able to have all of the team back together. I can't wait. But yes, as I stated, this is a music podcast about lesser-known music by lesser-known artists that we believe are as good as that in the mainstream. For example, the piece of music you can hear behind me currently is a song called Reasons That You Came Here by Rubber featuring Nick Hansen, which is out now according to this Rubber bio. Having formed during their time studying together at Temple University in 2018, Lopa and Della Franco have gone from strength to strength ever since. Fusing elements of R&B, funk, hip-hop, jazz and soul, they look to artists such as Frank Ocean, Thundercat and Amy Winehouse for inspiration, who all capture emotion within the irresistible melodies of their music. So yes, that's them. I will leave all links and information pertaining to these guys in the show notes. talking to myself for a little bit. But hello and welcome to Season 4, Episode 12. Hello, Wayne. Wayne's muted. I've muted everyone is what's happened there. This isn't going very well. I'm just going to unmute them and pretend everything is just all right and we haven't had any hiccups at all. So hello, Wayne. Are you okay?
Hello. Fuck, how's it going?
Say, God damn.
Oh, dear Lord. How's it going, mate?
I'm good. Have you lost the bottle, brilliant. I'm brilliant, you know. This is all going swimmingly. Someone's now phoning me during a recording because that's, you know, what else can go wrong, really? So someone will have a phone call as well. So hello, Ray Kelly from Ireland.
Hello there. Thank you for having me on the show. You are pressing record, aren't you?
Yeah, all right, okay. Yeah.
Someone's got to check for God's
sake.
We'll
just cover all the bases.
Yeah, God damn, help me. And you know what the funny thing was? We kept doing the intro over and over again, and I kept getting the song wrong, but it turns out I didn't get the song wrong. It was the right song, I just didn't get the actual intro. And the reason I was confused was because the email talks about these guys doing this music, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but that was definitely a female vocalist.
Definitely sounded like a female vocalist to me, all right, yeah.
Definitely.
Anyway, I'll leave all the information to them in the show notes, so you can find out more about them than I gave you in the intro. So, yes, oh, God, here we are. This is it. It's recording, and everybody's here, and it's all very good. And, yeah, how are we both? We all good?
Good, mate. Not so bad. Yes.
I'm also fine, thank you.
Good. Yeah, and yeah, right, okay. So, oh, honestly, Wayne, take over. I am so flummoxed.
Oh, dear. Well, this is my first show back after I've been away for 5 episodes. So I'm stepping. Oh, 6 episodes. 6 episodes, sorry, I've been away.
Yeah,
I was meant to
say welcome back, wasn't I?
Yes, it's okay. It's fine. I'm used to not being mentioned. It's fine. I'm back. Back into the fray. Things have changed up a little bit. Ema's not with us tonight, but she'll be back very soon. Obviously, Ray Kelly's our special guest. We'll be playing 2 songs that we found that we really quite like, along with a wild card. Then we'll finish up by talking to Ray Kelly about her music and playing her song Ignorant as Icarus. Does that sound about right, Rich?
Fuck's sake!
That's him trying to hang himself right there, people. That is in the background. He's
we
trying
might have to
hang
take
himself.
Over. Oh no.
How are you, Ray, anyway? Are you okay?
I'm fine, thank you. Yeah, had my first vaccine, waiting for my second.
Yeah, it's a catalogue of errors tonight, I'm afraid. It's
no, don't worry.
On a,
Jesus.
It's all this heat, that's what it is. It's put gremlins in the works.
You swear are like you, Father you... Jack, doesn't he?
Hi.
Are we back? Are you ready? Are you ready to go?
I left the keys in the door so they couldn't get in the house. I'm leaving it all brilliant. In. I'm not editing any of this out. It's all going in.
It's been a rough night, mate. Let's persist.
No idea. So, okay, we're going to move on to our first part of the show then, which you've probably just already explained. But
yes.
Yeah, if you introduce your first artist, Wayne.
No, I will do it now. I will introduce my artist.
Introduced.
So I am... I said introduce. I will be bringing a band called Berries and their song Copy. Enjoy.
Yeah.
to talk about that way.
I was just waiting for you to say, you're off mute. Okay.
Oh, I didn't put you on. I'm not putting anybody on mute anymore, ever again.
Oh, okay. So that was Berries with their song Copy. Berries are a three-piece band from London with a penchant for effortlessly combining off-kilter melodies and guttural grunge. This is their latest release, Copy, and they say it's about imitation and how we are programmed by society to try and live up to other people's expectations of happiness and how unhealthy, self-critical, obsessive this way of existing can be. It's a really nice bit of indie, this. It reminds me of something. It's sort of very 90s meets noughties indie. The guitar riffs remind me of something like Black Party, and the style overall gives me a sort of Elastica, placebo-y type vibe, especially the way she sings it and the way it's arranged. Just a nice all-round song. You know, it puts me in mind of like dirty, sweaty clubs and, you know, mascara and Stratocasters. That sort of vibe it gives me. It's got a fantastic, brilliant driving chorus that shifts the whole song. It's got a really nice gear shift into that chorus, and yeah, it's just a nice, really nice piece of indie. So yeah, go check out Berries by Copy. Sorry, Copy by Berries. Let's start with you, Ray. What do you think of this?
I love that, and I agree with everything you said. I could imagine it being in a film like 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yes.
It makes me really excited about seeing live music again, because, yeah, I could totally see myself up at the front, sweating terribly. you know, it's the sort of song I could see myself jumping on my bed to when I was a teenager. Really defiant and energetic. Love that guitar riff in the beginning. It's sort of Mars Volta-ish. There's something quite different about that. Yeah, I really dig it. I like that.
Yeah, that's what I was going for, the Block Party, because I think it's probably because of the sound, but the definitely the style of it is Mars Volta. Like I was saying, 90s meets noughties, you know, that sort of thing. Rich?
Who did Teenage Kicks?
The Undertones.
I was getting that from it. This is just straight down the line rock. It just is what it is. There's no thrills. It's just guitar, vocals, bass, drums, plenty of distortion. It's the foundation of what the ISG was, the band that me and Wayne was in. It's just good rock music. It's good live music. It's got a nice lo-fi feel to it, I feel. They haven't spent a ton of money on the production. However, because of the style of music they're doing, they don't need to, I don't think. In fact, if they did spend a ton of money and overproduced it, I don't think it'd have the same feeling.
No, I agree. Absolutely agree on that.
So, yeah, I like this. It's very nostalgic for me. It takes me back. Like it a lot, yeah. I'm finding I've been listening to... I'm doing it now. Listening back to previous episodes, I'm slurping. It's because of the whiskey I'm drinking during the episode. And as the episode goes on, my speech starts to... So I need to stop drinking... I need to stop drinking whiskey during the episodes. I think, well, it's really nice. Anyway, so yeah, good tune, Wayne. Well done. Yes. I enjoyed that a lot.
Go check out Berries. Yeah, and as like I always do, this is from our vault, from our mailbox vault. This was sent to us back in February, so I'm just picking this up now. So yeah, but it's been out now. It's been out a while. Go and check them out because it's very, very good. So yeah, Copy by Berries. Go and give it a listen. Move on to you then, Rich.
Yeah, I'd rather you didn't, because I know I've got Big Loot next. Only I forgot what their song's called.
Rider.
So I've tried to change it up a bit this week because we don't bring enough hip hop. We call ourselves a multi-genre podcast. However, we don't bring enough hip hop as well, and we get more hip hop than anything else. So when we do get a decent piece, I think it's only best to bring it along. So this is Rider by Big Lutes.
Rizzy, Big Lutes, Cocolea. Spark slit, reignite the vibe, and I Never quit, stay on this grind. So don't talk smack if you can't provide the energy for the soul and mind. Gotta move with a perk, gotta know your worth. And if they throwing roadblocks, I put the gear in reverse. Living in fear is the worst, but I will sacrifice the blame to put my dreams in a hearse. Recognize it's not a game, get my feet in the dirt. Stay at one with the earth, too blessed to be stressed. If you're with it, let's work. So, many claim the ride till the ships are down. Facts. Backstabbing, telling lies, I ain't with it now. Never perfect, I was blind with the vision clouds. Live and learn, think it's time that we get it now. I think it's time that we get it now. Coco, I think it's time that you get it now.
Don't call yourself a writer if you won't ride till the end. Or you're gonna feel the fire that you can't put out again. Don't call yourself a writer if you won't ride till the end. Or you're gonna feel the fire that you can't put out again.
Are you a brother or foe? See, the choice is yours. Cause when the times get tough, see your vision gets blurred. I'm a man of my word, so I stick to the truth. Yeah. When I step up in the box, watch me hit like root. See the pains like a tooth when the fakes reveal. Now your fate's been sealed, so you've tarnished your name. When the roof's on fire, see we wet it with rain. When the wrong gets written, only you take the blame. It's a shame that you're dirty and low, we should've known. Coming from my ends, see we loyal to the bone. From the rent to the own, always raising the stock. If you're seated at the table, only goal is the top. No time to flop, just a mission to reign. Just call me Uber, not a time to be alive. Fuck a snake, I see the future. I keep my fam tight, cause I'm always be a creature. This a voyage with no days off, I'm not Ferris Bueller.
Don't call yourself a writer if you won't ride till the end. Or you're gonna feel the fire that you can't put out again. Don't call yourself a writer if you won't ride till the end. Or you're gonna feel the fire that you can't put out again. If you wanna fall out, make sure it's real. If you wanna speak out, never conceal.
That was Big Lutes with Ryder. A little bit about them. In 2021, Big Lutes dropped Look Into the Fire. So I don't want to talk about that. That's irrelevant. Is it actually anything about that? I should have prepared this in advance. I'm very sorry. Okay, no, it doesn't actually say anything about them. So it was Big Lutes, Coco Lee and Briz. Yeah, Coco Lee, Briz, and Big Lutes. The email doesn't actually say much about them at all. However, I'll leave links. You can find all the information you need. I like this. It's got that street feel. It's got that urban feel without, at risk of sounding like my granddad, it hasn't got all that profanity. And I love a good swear. I love the female vocals in it. They sound kind of a off-kilter, that kind of unhinged, but nice at the same time. It makes no sense when I say it, but it makes sense in my head. It's just a good piece of hip-hop, and I love... there's a lot of that beautiful flute that comes in. I like that, and it just makes it... I want to say nice, but it's not because it's a piece of hip-hop, but it kind of breaks it up a bit. And none of what I've just said makes sense. I understand that, but I know what I was saying, so fuck you, Wayne. What do you think?
That flute, though.
Yeah.
Hey, that flute.
Isn't it?
That's amazing. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I pretty much agree with everything you said. It's got a very lovely late 90s feel to it, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's very old school.
Yeah. Well, it's old school, new school, isn't it? That's where I'm going.
What is that? Is that the whiskey bottle? He's opening another one.
Dear Lord. It's a cockalea.
Beg your pardon, Wayne?
That's what he calls a cockalea. In the song. Obviously, for me, there's obvious comparisons to somebody like Rihanna in the way she sings and her vocal style. And that's not a bad thing at all.
Cause, I didn't pick up on that, but now you say it,
yeah. Yeah,
I think she's got a really nice voice, and this, like, I do agree that the song, she's a little bit off kilter, and it does draw you in a bit more because of that. It adds a nice flavour of R&B to like an old school hip hop track. It's really good. I think the strength of this song is in its simplistic construction, because there's lots of spaces for those vocals to fill, and it's not all just produced within an inch of its life. It's there as a nice basic beat to for the song and for the lyrics to sit on top of, so you can hear them better, so you can flow with them. And I do think that that is one of its biggest strengths. There's no frills, there's no bells or whistles. So yeah, nice old school, new school song. Yeah, I like it, Rich.
Cool. What do you reckon, Ray?
So I am totally out of my music comfort zone here. Probably not the best person to critique a hip hop track, although I do like hip hop, but it's just not in my daily digest, so to speak. But my favorite part of this song is his reference to Ferris Bueller, because that is my favorite film.
There's a bit where my film as well.
Oh, there you go. He says something like, "No days off, I'm not Ferris Bueller." And that kind of stuck out to me. I was like, yeah, you get kudos from me for that. That's a good lyric. But yeah, nice vocal inflection. It's very listenable. Great beat, great singer. What's not to like, really?
You're struggling now, aren't you, Ray? Oh,
well, yeah, I mean, I, like I said, I'm not, you know, a hip-hop connoisseur, but...
It's fair. I am the same. I think Wayne's the same. We don't listen to a lot of hip-hop ourselves, but it's only fair for us to play it when it comes in and it's good. And if something comes through and it's not my bag, but I can tell that it's good, I will still play it. So it's one of those, yeah.
It's better than what I'm hearing in the charts, that's for sure.
And should we just finish there with "Hey, bada bada bada"?
Hey, bada 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 bada, swing bada,
swing bada,
swing bada. What was that from again?
From Ferris Bueller.
Oh, is that from? Oh, do you know what? I need to... That's so bad, isn't it? I was like, I can see. I was trying to picture the character. Of course, it's Ferris Bueller. That just means I need to watch it. I'm overdue. I watch it at least once a year, so that just means.
There you go. You know what to do the weekend now.
There we go. I need to watch it again. Yeah.
Where are you from outside of Ireland?
So I'm originally from Dublin, but I'm now in St. Albans, so just north of London.
You almost sound Cornish sometimes.
People get very confused about my accent because I'm from South County Dublin, which is posh. You get a posh kind of accent. It's not the sort of typical Colin Farrell north side lovely accent. And that mixed with St. Albans, people get very confused. I actually get a lot of people asking if I'm Canadian, which is quite funny. Never Cornish. Really? But there we go. Yeah.
Never Cornish. Wow.
No, okay. That's the first.
Okay, well, that was completely off topic. Anyway, yes, okay. That was Big Loot with Ryder. Go check them out. I'll leave links. And if there's any websites, I'm sure there is, go and find out a proper bio for each of the artists, because I gave nothing away there. My apologies to the artists. But yeah, definitely check them out. Should we move on to our next round, Wayne?
Oh, yes.
What's our next round, Wayne?
It's wild card, baby.
Oh, it is. Now, for the uninitiated, the wild card is where I go into my emails and you can hear me clicking. This is another pet hate of mine, my slurping while drinking whiskey and while editing. All I can hear is my fucking mouse clicking away. And that, my phone. But my mouse, so I'm gonna go into the emails now. You'll hear me clicking on them. This has not been a good episode for you, has it, Ray, at all? Okay, so I'm going to go to my emails and I'm going to flick through my emails. And as I'm flicking through them, email usually does a sound like a drum roll thing, but it's not important. So I'm going to let you know, I'm flicking through the emails now. I just want you to say stop whenever you're ready. You're ready. I need to start speaking properly while I'm on a podcast.
Is it me saying so, stop or Wayne? Or both of us?
No, you. When you're ready to say stop. I'm flicking through.
Okay,
flicking
I wish
through.
I could I'm do flicking. Like a drum roll. Yeah, there we go. Stop.
Okay, we have... It says... Promo, Ollie Rockenberger.
What a name.
Oh. It's, okay, so this is from Eve Bridge. This Bridge the Gap Promotions or something like that. Hi, I hope you are having a good week. Hope you're having a good week. I have a song for you today from a musician with a strong presence in London's creative music making scene. Having worked alongside names including China Moses, don't know that person, Gregory Porter, don't know that person.
You don't know Gregory Porter?
Gregory Porter's great. Rock and soul singer.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. Laura.
You do now.
Laura Mula with a V Umvulu. After the M.
Umvulu.
That's not what that says.
It's Umvulu. Laura Umvulu.
No, that's not how he's spelled.
She's brilliant. I've seen her live. She's amazing.
And someone other unknown person called Chaka Khan, among others. So, Ollie Rockenberg, Does It Erode is the song. So, what are you expecting to hear from this?
It's got
to
be soul, right?
Yeah, it's going to be some, maybe jazzy. In fact, probably jazzy. I'm going.
That's what I'm expecting, I think. Like a new jazz, like a little bit of electric.
Like Gregory Porter and Lauren Vulu, that sort of stuff.
Oh, those people that I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant. Okay, so yeah, this is that. This is a. I'm whistling through my teeth now while I say my S's. Brilliant. So yeah, this is that. This is Does It Road by Ollie Rockenberger.
I love the sky, or the people passing by. I never knew I loved the road, free to go when I wanna go outside. I never knew I loved the rain.
Olli Rockenberger there with Does It Erode, the lead single from his forthcoming album Look Up, coming out July the 23rd, which reflects themes of striving for hope amidst enforced isolation while reflecting on the past, present and future. Can you reflect on the future? And I am. Does It Erode sees Olli pull from his years of experience as a songwriter, producer and session musician to combine a distinct songwriting style within a folkatronica sound. I should probably have started with that. So, I don't know if either of you heard it, but I heard Does It Erode, oh bastard! Did you hear that?
No, but now I'll never be able to unhear it.
That's what I really want to play it again so as you can hear, but yeah.
Does it erode, oh bastard?
That's what I heard. I'm sure it wasn't. But yeah, I honestly, it was good, but I don't know if I enjoyed it. I think it's one of those that I need to listen to a few times for it to grow on me before I can appreciate it. I think it was good, but yeah, that, what I just said. Wayne?
Yeah. Did anybody else get...
Bastard! Yeah, me. I got that.
From the intro, did anybody else get Desert Rose by Sting?
No.
I got not. Shape of My Heart by Sting.
Might be that one, but that's the same
reminded
song.
Reminded me of that.
Shape of My Heart is the one he did with Craig David, isn't it?
I can't remember.
I think it is. And if it is, then they're playing Desert Rose. That's the same. Yeah, it is. It's the same one, yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, it's got like a late 80s, early 90s sound in its production. Sort of a bit of Alexander O'Neill-ish. It's got a bit of that in there. It's nowhere near as jazzy as I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be like some real cocktail lounge sort of stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's jazz inflected, but this is more sort of new soul sort of sound. I'm unsure about the drum sound he uses in it. I think it's a bit too processed or under-processed, as it were. But I do love the synth bass that comes in towards the last chorus. It's got that sort of like, almost your favourite word, Rich, when describing bass. It's almost flatulating. It's just got this really nice warm sound to it. And it's a nice song. I like it.
Yeah, the drums almost sounded like they were recorded on a tape player.
Yeah.
Did you like this, Ray?
I did actually enjoy it. I think he's definitely crafting his own sound, so the bio makes sense. And yeah, I was definitely not expecting that voice. So it was a real juxtaposition of styles, you know, with that sort of jazzy piano and then more of a kind of husky rock voice to me. So I thought that was quite an interesting mix. It's definitely something a bit different.
It's one that I might stick on my playlist and listen to a few times.
I'd quite like to listen to... Is this the only thing he's released? Is this the debut single?
No, he's released a 10-track album, apparently.
Oh, okay. So I'll have to go and check out the album.
He releases a new album in July.
There you go, July.
Yeah, so there you go. Again, links in the show notes so you can go and check him out. This episode has been a smorgasbord of emotions and colours and everything. So yeah, we're going to move on to our next section now, our final section, if you don't include the artist of the week. But yeah, our next section, which is the artist spotlight. That's our studio.
That's a nice applause.
It's genuine. Ray Kelly, thank you for joining us and putting up with us and being so patient.
That's so okay. My patient. Pleasure. Thank you for having me on. Love what you're doing for a little known artist. It's very good.
So, Ray, I don't really know much about you other than what I sort of your interview with Ema. It wasn't that long ago, really. Have you been up to much since then?
Not really. I'm hoping to move house soon, so that's sort of been the main area of focus. preparing for that. But yeah, I've got a kind of a backlog of material to release. So I've took a bit of an inadvertent hiatus from the music scene for quite a few years due to health issues and had problems with my voice. It was all just a bit demoralizing. And I basically ended up wandering off doing different things. And I work in digital marketing, so I've just found some other interests. And then finally realized, oh, I really want to get back and do music again. And I just need to find a way to get through these issues, basically, and work through them. So that's what I'm doing now.
So how is that working for you? Are you using, like, trying to come up with techniques, or are you just trying to just fight through it? How's that working for you?
Yeah,
I don't want to have to touch on whatever the problems were, because that's personal, obviously. But yeah, I was just,
that's okay.
How are you dealing with the situation?
Well, it's a long story, so I won't go into it. But yeah, so basically, I have trouble with the lower range of my voice, and sometimes when I'm gigging, my voice will just go, which is quite stressful. And I think worrying about that is quite stressful as well. And I tend to get quite bad stage fright, so having that as an additional thing to worry about, as well as trying to perform well, is, you know, quite unbearable. So what I realized is probably I just need to start writing my songs a bit higher so that I'm not in the danger range, as I'm now calling it. I mean, your voice does change as you get older anyway. It's that, or maybe start smoking, you know, get the lower range, the range back. Probably think that's not a good idea.
I completely understand. I've got such a high voice. I sound like Johnny Vegas. but yeah, I can see... If I want to, I can sing like a lady. It's nothing to be proud of. But yeah, I struggle with the low ranges.
Oh, it's great to have a high range. Like the singer from, you know, Mew, that band Mew, he's got an incredibly low
I've got a fantastic falsetto. Amazing.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah. So, obviously, you must thrive in the studio, because obviously you can work past all your problems there, and if you're making mistakes, you can go over them again and again and again. Is that how you're coming to?
Yes. Yeah. What I'm hoping now is to, so I'm living quite a small flat at the moment where I don't really have a designated recording space. So hopefully when I move now, I can create a proper designated room, because I haven't had that for so long. And for me, I just have to shut the world out. I can't, if I know that someone can walk in, I just like to feel like I shut everyone out. So that would be great. And, yeah, I've been getting back into doing more home recording and using my Logic Pro X software and stuff like that, demoing things up. And I think recording my own vocals is going to be quite an important thing for me, because, again, I never know what's going to happen with it from one day to the next. So if I'm having a good day, I can just go in and lay some stuff down and not have to worry about booking studio time or traveling to, you know, collaborate with someone.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the plan moving forward, I think.
You want to do what Emer's doing and be self-contained and self-produced.
Oh, yes, exactly. And I'm a huge fan of Emer. Such admiration. I think it's brilliant. Mm. And it's great. Well, you know, there's so much freedom now for independent artists. You can just do everything from your laptop. It's incredible. And the quality is there. It's not. It doesn't sound like something you've just recorded in a shed, unless you wanted to. You know, you can actually make it sound like you've been in a studio. So
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You can, yeah, with the technology we have and the software, there's like Emma, for example, she's producing music that sounds like it's come out of a studio, so it can be done. It's just a big learning curve, I think. Mm. But if you're willing to do it, it's a good payoff.
It is, yeah, I would agree.
So, when was the last time you gigged?
Oh goodness, I think it might have been 2 years ago. So I did a gig on my birthday, and yeah, it would have been 2 years ago.
So it wasn't my last long one. Ago then.
Not too bad, but definitely need to get out on the horse again.
You think you'll do it again?
Yeah, I think I will. I'll just try not to worry too much. Just, you know, whatever happens, happens. I am a big worrier, so that's been another thing I've had to manage. It's just, there's no point, is there? Just go out and try and enjoy it. And
exactly.
I really envy musicians. Like, so many of my friends are musicians, and they just revel in it. They love it. They just live to perform. But I love songwriting, and that's always been a form of self-expression for me. But performing was always something I was terribly nervous about,
yeah.
And not a natural thing. So it's something I've really had to work at. And it's so funny watching back videos of myself from a few years ago. I just look, I have my eyes closed all the time, which is quite impressive, you know, to playing piano and singing with my eyes closed. So I'm not, you know, I wasn't really connecting with the audience. And there are artists that do that. I mean, Bob Dylan gets up and, not comparing myself to Bob Dylan, but, you know, you get up on stage.
Stevie Wonder?
Yeah, well, that's a different story. Let's cut him some slack. But, you know, there are artists that get up and don't engage with the audience, but I think that is important to acknowledge that they are there, but that can be quite terrifying as well if you're nervous.
And this song that you are bringing today, I'm going to play that now so we can have a bit of a chat about it afterwards, if that's okay.
Oh, go for it.
The song you're bringing, I'm going to let you introduce it.
Okay. Well, this is a track called Ignorant as Icarus.
Some burning truth
Wow. So, yeah, that was Ignorant As I... What?
As Icarus.
As Ignorant As Icarus. This is...
I should change it to that, as I were.
This is what I like to call a straightforward song. It's just a song. It's a good, you know, there's no putting it into a DAW and putting weird shit all over it. It's just a good song. It's an organic song, organic vocals, organic instruments. It's like going back to when, like, Dina Carroll and people like that. It's just a good, you know, do you know what I mean?
I love that you said that. Thank you.
And you was talking earlier about your vocals and you struggled in the lower ranges. You were riding the lower ranges a lot in that song. I think you make it harder for yourself.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, when it works, but it's just sometimes it goes. And when my voice gets tired. So that was a day where it went okay.
you seem to like that range though.
Yeah, well, that's the really tricky thing is that I write my songs in a, they're all in a very similar range. So
I mean,
yeah.
If you had an awful high range, I'd understand, but your high range is it's outstanding.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. you use it, who produced this?
So this is produced by Andy Carr. He's a bass and producer who plays with a band called ABC. That's his sort of bread and butter. And Belinda Carlisle, he tours with.
I'm saying ABC as in The Look of Love ABC.
Yes, yeah. So that's his main band. He's been gigging and touring with them for many years. He toured with Bruce Dickinson back when he was doing his solo thing. So I was just really lucky. I just happened to get talking to someone, just a stranger, after a gig I played in London, who turned out to know Andy and just kindly introduced us because I was needing a bass player for my band. And he was like, oh, my mate's a bass player, but it turned out to be Andy. I thought it was just going to be his mate, you know, just some young guy, but it was actually this really accomplished musician. And it's brilliant because he was just a perfect match for me to produce this song. I wrote this a long time ago in my final year of university, and I always knew I wanted to record it with a string quartet. But at the time, that just seemed completely unfeasible. I didn't know how I was going to do that, you know, pay for it and pay for the musicians. Now it's obviously much easier to do that because you can do remote sessions and such. But as it happened, Andy knew a quartet, and yeah, they did. They recorded for me for a good deal, and it's brilliant, really good.
I was going to mention the strings on this because the strings sounded very electric, almost synthesizer. But I knew they weren't synthesizer because, or if they were, because you can hear the strokes, the backwards and forwards strokes, which you don't get with a synthesizer. But it did sound very electric.
You've got a good ear, Richie. There is a blend, so there's some synthesizer in there. But yeah, okay. There's also live strings.
Okay, cool. Mixing it up.
Yeah.
It's a very beautiful, it's a very beautiful song. And it's, again, like I say, Dina Carroll, it's very nostalgic, takes me back to that kind of 90s. But because it was a that kind of music was, it wasn't typical of that. It was a timeless style of music, so it worked just as well today as it did then. And yeah, it's the same for your music. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
So what's next?
What is next? So I've been working on an EP with Andy. So that's one of four tracks we've been working on. And most of the instrumentation is done for the other three tracks. It's just the vocals. So I think probably the next stage is going to be self-producing the vocals. I think it's just going to make life much easier. So I do have a plan for the next track I want to work on. And I'm also hoping to write more for film. So a few months ago, I released my first instrumental, and that was so much fun because I didn't have to do any vocals and worry about that. And I worked with a cellist I met online. I did it completely remotely. So it was the first project I did in Logic, just collaborating with another musician I'd never even met. And then I sent it off to Andy to mix. So that was really eye-opening to me. It's like, okay, there's no excuse now. you can do so much without even leaving your house. So once I get my studio set up, I think I will work on my songs, but also on some more instrumental pieces. So that's quite exciting.
So the future's looking good then?
Yes. Yeah, quite excited.
So we, hopefully we'll be able to get you back on the show in future with new projects.
Yes, I would love to come back. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. I think that's pretty much it. I think we've covered all bases. If our listeners want to find you, they want to connect with you, they want to stalk you and hunt you down, where can they do that?
So I'm on all the usual social media sites except TikTok, because I can't bring myself
to go there yet. I am the same.
I have to draw the line somewhere. I'm too old for TikTok. I'm on all the usual places, so that my username is Rae, R-A-E, Kelly Music. So you'll find me on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram.
Excellent. And we'll leave all those links in the show notes, of course, and hopefully in the near future, if we can, we'll try and get Rae Kelly to do a stupid dance on TikTok for everyone.
You'll have to pay me, I'm afraid. And then I might still not do it.
Awesome. Lovely. Well, thank you, Rae, for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. Despite all of the issues that I've provided.
Okay. You powered through. You deserve a gold medal.
And I promise that after the edit, it will sound like nothing ever went wrong. Thank you again. And until next time, I've been Richie.
I've been Wayne.
Our guest has been...
Rae Kelly. Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
If indeed, you still are.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Back again with another Artist of the Week. This week's Artist of the Week is Titans of Doom. Previous guests on the show. Love these guys. Love their vibe. Love their outfit, what they do. Love everything about them. They're an unusual... they've got an unusual kind of setup. You've got an MC and a DJ and a guitarist, but that they've fused this and they've made it work for them, and it works really well. We'll be talking to them about some of their music and what they've been up to, and hopefully listening to one of their latest tracks. If you could and you'd be so kind, please follow us on all the different platforms, anywhere you can find a podcast or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe to us and follow us. If you're listening to this on YouTube, or if you can, just go and subscribe to us on YouTube. Please like these videos and leave a comment, because it helps get us out there, which helps also get the artists out there. Kind of fiddles around with the algorithms or something. But yeah, that's how we're going to get these artists listened to. So yes, please do that. You can also go over to www.yhhtmpc.com, where you can find out more about us, and you can find out all of our episodes and everything else. Yeah. If you'd like to support us, you can do that at buymeacoffee.com/yhhtmp, and you can buy us a coffee and support what we do. But yes, without no more dilly-dallying and no more waffle, here is my chat with Titans of Doom. It's been some time. It's been a minute.
It certainly has.
You look quite chilled.
Certainly feeling very chilled at the minute. Absolutely.
Awesome.
How's things with yourself?
Not too bad. Could you do me a favour? Could you landscape your phone, if that's what you're using?
Yeah, sure.
Bosh, yeah, look at that. Now I can see your whole face.
It's
bigger. That's lovely. So, what's new?
What's new? it's difficult to say, really. Constantly writing. There's new stuff that we're working on at the moment. I've just started working on some pieces of art, actually, just some collage pieces. So yeah, just keep it busy, really. That's kind of it.
Didn't know you were into that side of art as well. That's new information to me.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing that?
Pretty much just been doing that for the last like 4 or 5 years now. Just kind of getting into that. Comics are a big passion as well, so that's a very personal thing. So yeah, it's nice to do, and plus it's a nice little way to kind of do things with my two little ones. So it's nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, that new song, I Blame You. So you're very political and very your music has. It's kind of punk, isn't it? In the sense, it's not punk as in like a punk in terms of genre, but in terms of your messages
ethos
and everything,
and spirit and stuff.
Yeah, ethos, very much.
It's very much punk. Yeah.
Mm. So, you know, what's the message behind your latest works?
Do you want to? I mean, you lyrically, conceptually? I don't know. Yeah,
go for it, man.
Yeah, I mean, this latest one is it's been a real fun one to do this, to be fair, because this is kind of pretty well the first track that we ever started kind of working on at all. Like, I kind of brought the concept of this track and said, like, I've got, you know, because obviously if you've listened to it, you know that hook, like, I Blame You. What's it called? Sleeping Satellites, isn't it? That track, yeah. So I had the concept and there was, the idea being, I blame you for this, that, and the other. So, you know, climate change, wars, blah, blah, blah. And this was the first track that we started talking about as an idea of what sort of direction we'd like to go to through as a band, you know, sort of about 5 years ago. Yeah, something like that. So, I mean, it's just, I suppose the kind of, very loosely, it's a kind of an attack on the powers that be, if you like, the warmongers, the people that send aid to Yemen whilst arming the Saudis to bomb them. It's just fucking ridiculous, that sort of thing. That's, I mean, I don't know, lyrically, have you got any more on that? I don't know. So about there.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, like very much exactly all of that, and you know, the people that also that buy into it, you know, the people who don't question that just kind of go along with it, hear it and go, yeah, all right, well, they're the bad guys, they're the villains, we're going to support that without ever questioning it. They're just as much to blame for perpetuating that as well, because that's the reason why it continues to exist equally. It's only very angry in that sense and very all-encompassing when we're looking at politics, politicians, the general public even. Is it's a lot of blame to pass around, to be fair.
Yeah. But it's a really bouncy track, though. That will get you dancing. It sounds really angry and horrible, but you will move when you hear it. Do you know?
Yeah, I can attest to that, yeah. It definitely is. So your messages, a lot of people could say that it's a big fight and it's a losing battle, one that we'll never win because of the powers that be, they are the people that rule, and that is that. What would you say to people who say, what's the point? Because your message is just going to get lost in a plethora of other messages by other people.
I don't know. I think it's quite easy to be just really sort of nihilistic about it, isn't it? And just kind of, all hope is gone and, just give up sort of thing. But then, and sometimes you do kind of think, well, it is a waste of fucking time. Do you know what I mean? Sorry, are we live and swearing? Is that all right? I should check.
Carry on, mate. You swear as much as you fucking want.
No bother. So, sometimes it's like that, but then, others, you see like there's a bit of good in people somewhere and it's, you might just be able to convince them, but I don't know. I think people are too stupid to pick it up sometimes. Maybe I'm being a bit harsh, but yeah.
I'd agree with you. I think that there is a large element of that within what we do, kind of thing, because people do just want the easy answers, and you're right, people do just go, well, what's the point?
I'm guilty myself.
Well, believe me, I've been there myself, and I think you have to understand, everyone has those moments. It's when you stop checking yourself about having those moments. Ultimately, those moments are possibly leading on to apathy, which leads to, oh, well, nothing's going to change, so I'm not going to do anything about it. But if we all think like that, then nothing will actually change. But yeah, I suppose it's that rather idealistic way of going, well, if you can at least change the way one person thinks, yes, it's very idealistic and altruistic, but surely there's got to be a better way of doing things than there is currently, right?
You can say it's idealistic and whatever, and it's, you know, it's a pipe dream. You know, can we actually really do anything? But then Rosa Parks could have said the same thing, couldn't she? She's just one person with one ideology, and what's she going to do on her own? Especially as a woman as well back then, a black woman, and you know, I mean, she had everything against us, and I could have sat down and said the same thing to her. What makes you think you can make a difference? You know what I mean? So, yeah, it does only take one person.
But, I think it's an important time as well, because... Oh,
messages seem to get lost. Messages seem to get lost more today than they did back then. People seem to be more apathetic, I think, more now than they were then. I think. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm...
I think that, you know, I saw this quote, I can't remember who it was now, but some like old Greek philosopher that said, give them bread and circuses and they'll never revolt. And that's kind of, if you look at even stuff like Euro 2020 that's on now this year, like, you can't go to a theatre in full capacity, you can't go to a festival outside, but you can pack as many stupid, like, skinhead England fans into a pub as you like, and they can jump all over each other, throwing beer all over the place, and that's all good. You know, so I don't know, not that all England football fans are stupid, obviously, just, you know, a significant majority. The ones that boo taking the knee, ones. But, you know, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, you see some things like, you know, the protests with the Sarah Everard thing recently, the Black Lives Matter protests, you know, there's a lot of anger building up in society. And, you know, when sort of the COVID crisis is finished and the kind of the younger generation, because let's face it, you know, I'm not necessarily in the younger generation anymore, but, you know, I'd like to sort of make music that speaks to them a little bit. They are going to be the ones that have to pick up all the pieces of this, and they are going to be very angry. And I would rather, you know, the younger people kind of got angry about something than just carried on this apathetic sort of way of living. It's just, you know, it's not going to work. It's not going to last, you know. And I think there's this culture war as well, isn't it? You know, this idea that youngsters aren't going to get a COVID vaccine and they'll refuse to go and get one. Well, you never fucking offered them one for 6 months while you were saying they wouldn't go. So don't just make stuff up. It's just this false kind of culture war with young and old.
It's difficult as well, I think, because you've got so many people getting angry over so much stuff now. It's trying to work out, sort through the wheat from the chaff, because obviously, you know, you've got your political war going on with your group and the, you know, the powers that be, which is fair enough. You know, if you listen to the message, it's a good message, and it stands up. But then you've got other people out there who are revolting against other strange shit, and it's like there's a woke culture, but it's become maybe too woke in some aspects, and there's that many people out there fighting against different things that nothing's being taken seriously at the moment, if you know what I mean, if that makes any sense at all.
It's the classic divide and conquer, though, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's what you mentioned about the woke element. Yeah, you're right. There is this almost parodying of being aware about things. The term woke, even, what does it even mean? It's actually... it's a changing of language. I know I'm probably referencing 1984 here, but if you look at that, one aspect of 1984 is it's the changing of language that happens over a course of time. Woke, it's actually just another term for being aware about what's going on. So the term itself doesn't actually even make sense. The actual idea of being aware about things that are going wrong in society itself has been hijacked and been, it's like hyperbole, because out of that you get cancel culture. Oh, we're so woke, we're going to cancel things for being not how we want them to be. I actually personally disagree with cancel culture, because it in itself is a fad. Whatever is cancelled today is just right there again tomorrow. So we live in an age of instant gratification, unfortunately. Just instant gratification. That's all it boils down to for me. And as long as people are getting that, they don't think about the long term. They don't think about the consequence. And then it ultimately leads to what we're talking about here, which is that next generation has to pick up the pieces. How do you do that? Well, you need somebody to highlight what's actually going wrong. You need somebody to have an imprint of it. I like to think we do a fairly good job of doing that to some degree. But as you say, there's other bands that do that. There's other artists, other forms of art that do that as well. That's important.
I don't think there's much musically that's doing it, though. At the minute, I don't think, you know, it's all shoegazing fucking nonsense. Just, you know, yeah. I want to go back out. COVID's still going. I'd love to go and have a little dance with my buddies. Yeah, fucking great stuff. But, like, let's think a little bit wider. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think people in Palestine probably want a little bit more than that, to be honest. So why don't we maybe give a damn about that?
Yeah, exactly.
Can I just ask you to hold that thought a second? I just need to go check on something. Sorry, but let's talk amongst yourselves. Won't be a sec.
No problem.
How's things, man?
All right. Yeah. Not too bad.
Good.
Not too bad. I'm going to start working on that beat. I think that you sent over. Try and find a bit of time.
Ah, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got
on my shirt, by the way.
Oh, I do. It's very apt.
Yeah.
More blacks, more dogs, more Irish.
I had to try and explain that one to the little fella. Obviously, he's 8, and he asked me what that shirt meant. I was like, fucking hell. This one could take a little while.
It's funny, actually. I was talking to my daughter today, and randomly she comes out of nowhere. She starts talking about racism. And she goes, ultimately, her overall take was, she goes, I don't think it's right. But ultimately, you know, the thing that confuses me the most, I was like, what? She goes, the why? It makes no sense. Why are people racist? They've got to be stupid. So
very, very profound.
Very profound.
The thing is, there's an innocence in a kid's way. Like, so a kid will describe someone as the boy with brown skin. As an identifier, just because that's how they identify that kid against the other kid in the class. They don't mean it in any way. That's just, they might say exactly the same, the girl with yellow hair, you know, because they don't understand the word blonde. But that's how kids, there's just an innocence in the way kids do things. They're taught to attach a narrative a narrative against what that means. That boy has brown skin, therefore this. No, that second part is added on culturally. The first part is just, that's what kids do. Yeah,
that's not just kids. I do that. I've done that. Do it at work. We had two Terriers, and one of them was black, and the other one was really fat. So I'd either refer to one of them as black Terry or fat Terry, and both equally as insulting. Well, no, the fat one's insulting. The black Terry. That's who he is.
just identifying him.
I mean, some people might look at that and think, well, you shouldn't really do that. Why? Why though? I mean, somebody, you know, if there's two Richards, and my name's Richie, if there's two Richies, somebody might describe me as the short white one. If I don't know. I think sometimes you can be over the top when it comes to, or maybe I'm wrong, I don't know. It's a touchy subject that I probably shouldn't put into the show, to be honest.
it is a touchy subject, but you know, it's stuff like being woke and being overly sort of hyper sort of responsive to injustice and stuff like that is not a bad thing. Like, you know, the idea that these woke warriors are somehow bad people, I don't think they are at all. I think that the heart's in the right place, absolutely 100%, and I would much rather have people that think about other people's feelings and perception and all that sort of stuff than not. I think sometimes, unfortunately, it's just a bit of naivety as to the world that we live in. You know, the idea that, for example, you might be able to convince a bloke that boos taking the knee that a trans woman is a woman, you're never going to convince that guy because he's still way back here where he doesn't recognize the equality of black people. So, you know, you're miles away. And I think that's the problem. It's not, for me, the problem is not the kind of forward thinking of the woke culture. It's the fucking backwards thinking of everyone else, you know. But yeah, it is a touchy subject, though.
It is. Yeah, I'm going to have to think. I'm going to have a deep think about editing this. But music.
Yeah, music, safer subject.
So
smooth segue there.
I know, right? Yeah. So, like I say, you've got your that track out, and you're writing other stuff. What other stuff are you working on?
Just personally, I've just got some bars on the go at the moment. I think there's a lot of stuff that's going on, obviously, in the world that kind of fuels that. As always, not necessarily trying to go for the most obvious things, because again, what's the point in going for the most obvious things? But ultimately, on a very personal level, I think the impact of things like ongoing restrictions and the reactions to that's hit quite a note with me. So yeah, you never know. Watch this space.
I think I said earlier that your music's kind of fighting against the system. I think that maybe thinking about it a bit further, maybe not. I mean, it could be classed as education as well, couldn't it? To the masses, the people who maybe don't realise or who think they realise, but they're wrong. There's a lot of education. You could see your message as being educational or not. Would you say it could be?
For me, it's education in the sense that I just love people to just challenge ideas of any sort. Just, you know, challenge everything. Take your time. Think about what it is. Think about the source of what you're reading before just accepting what you're reading. You know, the classic example is the Sun telling you that the BBC is shit. Yeah, well, obviously, because the Sun is owned by Rupert Murdoch, who owns Sky, who has a vested interest in the television. You know, take your time, break the levels down, fucking hell, like, pay attention. You know, it's just that, yeah. But, I mean, musically, just going back to what you're saying, so I think we've got, over the course of the last 18 months, we've kind of got ourselves set up at home, and we've started kind of creating music at home, and we're still writing, we're still quite active, whereas other bands have been really hampered by it in, you know, over the last 18 months or so. We've got about 12 or 15 tracks that are kind of in some state of sort of semblance and ready to go. We'll kind of have an album, I'd say, within the next 6 to 12 months. We've got a few kind of like little skits, you know, just like 32 bars of, you know, just a track that's just like on a kind of, you know, skit tracks in the middle. And then we've got a couple of others that are, you know, like almost ready to go. We've got a track called Triggered that will probably be the next one. And that's about, it's about how people get triggered and social media, and they just, you know, quote tweet everything based on the headline without reading it and get really angry. And, you know, again, just that whole thing of taking the time to break it down and understand what you're getting angry about. What's the other one called? Is it Right Wing Attack? Is that our current working title for it anyway?
Yeah.
That one, this other track that we've got coming up, Right Wing Attack, and says that it's the working title. It's kind of got a real like late 80s, early 90s sort of acid house kind of sort of sound to it, with the beat and like the, you know, the breakbeat and the kind of the lines with that kind of, you know, Prodigy sort of dance culture sort of style thing, all that sort of sound. But then we've got two other artists guest starring on that one, like collaborating with us on that one. So a guy called Figure Nine is from Birmingham, and then there's a guy called Tetsu Gamora who is signed to a label that I love, Therapy Sessions, drum and bass level, and he's out in France and he's doing some vocals for us on it as well. And that one is going to be massive when we finally get that finished. It's huge, huge sounding track, really, really beefy, really angry, but again, really dancey. Like, yeah, quality sort of old school sounds, that one.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to hear
a couple of bits coming.
We're definitely very excited about moving forward with what we've got in the pipeline, is as we've said, for sure. And I think, to the point about things being educational, I think there's a real, personally for me, there seems to be a real lack of critical thinking generally. So if nothing else, to inspire a level of critical thinking, you can even disagree with anything we say, but if that inspires you to go ahead and do a bit of research about that, whatever we're talking about, good for you. You might learn something. And even if it ends up being that we'll always disagree, that's fine as well. That's all good. Just go out there and question shit. That's all that we're saying. Yeah, questions.
Question.
Don't accept the status quo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Question the matrix.
Question the matrix. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be looking forward to getting out and doing some gigs. Will you not? How long has it been now?
The last show we played was November 19, the one you were at.
That's the last show we played.
So I think we had one lined up for the February, and then that got postponed and pushed back. And then obviously COVID kicked in, and then it's just kind of been, you know, no end of just things getting pushed back. And yeah, so I don't know. I mean, the thing is, some of the venues in Brum that, you know, where we would be playing still haven't really opened yet, and they're still not. It's not possible to open them on a sort of 50% capacity. And some of the, I think we've talked amongst ourselves about some of these kind of sit down ones. And I personally am just not up for a sit down one. Yeah. I kind of, you know, we play drum and bass and hip hop and sort of dubstepy sort of sounding stuff. Like it's, the, you know, you can't sit down and listen to that.
if we did some kind of, you know, unplugged set, some really moody acoustic set, then maybe I don't really see.
I'd struggle with an unplugged one. I mean, I can do an unplugged set on my laptop for, you know, 3 hours.
We'd have to give you some bongos or something like that. Yeah. Just some kind of like drums or something like that. That'd be it. But no, we are. Do you know the ironic thing that often the thought I have about live gigs and not being able to do live gigs last year, you know, the EP that we launched at that time, Versus, ironically enough, it's probably the most apt EP for that period of time and for 2020. When you think about the some of the songs that we've got on there, it's so apt, it's unbelievably apt, that there's almost a level of irony that kind of music wasn't able to be out there just purely because of what was going on. So on a personal level, it's a real shame to me that just selfishly, and I admit it, but it's very selfishly, not being able to perform that as much as we wanted to. But yeah, that's a highlight I'm looking forward to when we do finally get to have live gigs, to perform Prometheus again live, because we've only ever done that once. So
That was amazing.
We had that Smack My Bitch Up remix that mixed into it as well, and we kind of double dropped the two of them, and it just sounds epic. Like, you know, this track finishes and we mix Smack My Bitch Up, the noisier remix, into it, and Lockie, our guitarist, carries on playing the Prometheus riffs over the top, and it all, honestly, was, yeah, loved it. Yeah, so we can't wait to play it again.
Well, I didn't know what to expect because you were just some workmates of a podcast mate, Neil, and I just thought it's just going to be some of his mates doing a bit of fucking shit music, and I wasn't expecting much, to be honest, and I was absolutely blown away. I thought, I can't. And that when you did that, the Prometheus, fuck me, God, yeah. And it's the recordings are great, but you perform even better. Nothing, and that's not knocking your recordings, because I do like your recordings.
But no, that's all right.
Your performances were even better because you've got an atmosphere, and you build the atmosphere, and you feel it. You actually, So I'll look next time you play. Be sure to invite us along.
Free tickets to you guys next time again. No problem at all. But yeah, the live sets are brilliant though, because, you know, we operate in a different way to a normal band. You know, a normal band will play a song, they'll do 3.5 minutes, they'll stop, the audience will clap, they'll say thanks very much, they'll retune the guitar and they'll do another one, and, you know, loop ad infinitum lot. And whereas we will kind of use the fact that we're an electronic band primarily to blend in other people's tracks, mix tracks in, you know, and kind of create tension. So a track finishes and we'll maybe play a load of droning sort of noises to not quite let it finish and then build up into the next one. And we never kind of stop. Like, you know, we treat a set like a DJ set where, you know, there's always something happening. you know.
I've said in the intro, I've done an intro for this, and I was saying how you've got a unique setup. It's not like anything you usually see. You've got your MC, and you've got your DJ who produces, and you've got a guitarist, and it's quite a unique setup. I don't think I've seen anything like it, but it works so well. You blend everything together so well.
Yeah, it all comes together nicely, you know. Well, we think so anyway, so yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to play out your track now that we just mentioned. I've completely forgot what it's called. That's how much of a professional I am.
We should say a big up to Nahanda for doing the for guesting on this one with us as well. I think it's well worth shouting Nahanda out for that one. So yeah, she was great on this as well. Providing the vocals for us.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I thought what was the song?
So the song was originally "Sleeping Satellites" by I can't remember who it was now.
Tasman Archer, I believe.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, we didn't actually sample it. We got Nahanda to re-record the vocals, so it wasn't sampled from that. It was really exactly the same line and stuff. But
did you come into any issues with that? Because it's I'd imagine it's a copyrighted song and everything.
I mean, we haven't. We might. But yeah, just, you know. Yeah, we took a very sort of like underground drum and bass approach where they're always sampling films and stuff like that, and no one really cares because it's just not mainstream enough. So, you know, if Universal or whoever want to knock at our door, then I think we misunderstood parody. I think we're allowed to do it for parody or, you know, something. Yeah, so we just misunderstood. Yeah.
Yeah.
We get a lot of problems when people, not even like famous artists, like if an artist sends us the work and we put it out, we'll get like something off Universal Music Group or Warner Music Group saying, you know, this doesn't belong to you, you need to take it. We've stopped it on Facebook or we've stopped it on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
And that we get all the time. And so, yeah, we have to end up putting like a dispute in. We've started winning them now, though, so that's nice.
That's all right.
Nice.
But yeah.
Well, apparently you're allowed to sort of plagiarize, aren't you, for satire, I think it is. And it's like Weird Al Yankovic never got done, did he, for years and years because it was satire. So that's how he was obviously able to... Yeah,
I just figured he spent a shitload of money on their rights.
Yeah. No, I think there's some sort of weird loophole where satire prevents copyright laws from kicking in. You're allowed to use it for the purposes of satire.
Did not know that.
Yeah, you might have to look it up. Don't fucking take me, you know, at face value on it. It might be worth double checking. But yeah,
it's a very satirical song. It's a very satirical.
It's satire. it's satire. That's what it is.
Yeah, that was my big takeaway from it. Yeah. So yeah, guys, thank you for joining me and taking some time out for us and. I look forward to seeing you soon, hopefully.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing you too. We'll get you a big whiskey the next time we see you at a show. No bother.
I won't bring my mate with me the next time. Who's to bite your ears off?
It's all right.
Don't know why I brought him. Honestly, God, he was awful. Yeah. And, hopefully, also, when you're looking to release your next works?
I don't know, we'll probably be, because I finished that one off and I'm working on a few drum and bass bits at the minute, so I want to finish a couple of those off. I've got like a little EP of four tracks I'm working on, just like pure sort of drum and bass stuff, so I think I'll get onto it after that. But I'd say Triggered will probably be the next one, because we're waiting for Tetsu, aren't we, for the vocals. So it'll probably be, I don't know, where are we now? Okay, July.
June,
isn't it? Yeah, July. Maybe something around July, August time, yeah.
We'll have to get you back on the show because that was fun last time as well.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure. Yeah, so let us know when it's out and we'll try and organise something around the release of your next track.
Sound?
Sorted. Nice.
For the way we live tragic, the grand illusion killing life and its magic. I'm tired and ravished from struggle shit, so tussle the the savage, forget the brain, muscle, ignorance, the drug, we're all addicts. What's the damage of the apathy? First world calamity, got us living disconnected to the harsh reality. Label it negative, cause we don't have capacity to see that our luxuries at the cost of others' agony.
Summer is right around the corner, and you know what that means. Cooking out, diving in, and soaking up a whole lot of sunshine. The Home Depot has everything you need to start your summer right. Upgrade your cookout game with Traeger grills and smokers. Then gather around a new Hampton Bay patio set with family and friends. It feels like Memorial Day at the Home Depot, with savings on summer fun. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.